Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk again about the keys of that kingdom. And the key to that kingdom opens the door of Christ, which is the door we have to go through in order to get into the kingdom. Unfortunately, people have created a lot of fake doors. That's what, they go to this church, go to that church, and there was just a brief interaction on one of the networks where somebody was talking about church and the music and, you know, is the church your happy place? Is that where you go to be in your happy place? That really isn't what it's all about. It's supposed to be the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So it should be your righteous place, not self-righteous place, but righteous place. And so I talked a little bit this morning about what a good shepherd is, and is the shepherd of your flock, of the flock that goes to your church, really a good shepherd? Or is he one of those brutish shepherds or those blind guide shepherds? And I've often talked about socialism. You can't be a Christian and a socialist, but I found amongst the liberals and even amongst atheists, you often find that they are socialists. It's very common for them to be socialists, and it's more common that people who are socialists believe in evolution. And I pointed out that evolution includes the idea of the survival of the fittest. I mean, if you can't make it, you're out of the equation. Only those who can make it continue to evolve. And that's nature, survival of the fittest. But socialism, even though the idea of socialism and the idea of evolution are held by the same people, socialism promotes survival of the least fittest at the expense of the most fittest, which is completely contrary to evolution. And of course, it's contrary to what they say when you go to the national parks, don't feed the bears, it makes them dependent. But in social welfare, they feed the most degenerate people, the most immoral people, the most the laziest people, the despicable people. They feed them just the same as they feed everybody else, which is counter evolutionary, certainly counter society. It you're feeding that which is poisoning your society, and you do it based on force, not by choice. Force does not encourage love amongst the community. As a matter of fact, it divides the community. If you force people to contribute to, you know, a name source, you have to pay this guy or the IRS or whoever it is, state revenue, and you have to do it or somebody will come into your house and arrest you and throw you in jail or take your stuff away. And so it's like a protection racket. You got to pay them or somebody's going to come and beat you up. That divides the community in itself, because you don't have to care about your neighbor and your neighbor doesn't have to care about you. You just have to make sure you've got your protection money paid in. And that scatters the flock. They don't need each other. This is how you take range sheep that will go out and range over vast areas, grazing and browsing in the wilderness. And they all stick together, and if somebody attacks them, they all come together in a big, tight group. And the first thing the coyote or the wolf or the bobcat wants to do is break the group up, split it up. And then they pick one that they want to eat, and then they go after that one. And they kill it, and they eat it. But if the sheep can stay together, they have some sort of a defense. And of course, if they have a shepherd, he's got a 30-30. So that resolves that issue. But farm flocks are so used to being fenced in a tight fenced area that they don't stick together. They're just out to fill their belly. So they go to this corner and that corner, and they go anywhere. And if you took them out to the range, they go every which way. And I used to try to do that way back in the day when I would go out and herd sheep with my tennis shoes on because I was going to do a lot of running because I had black-faced sheep mixed in with my white-faced sheep and mottled sheep. That's sheep that had a black ram and a white ewe. And so you get a mottled sheep. And the fact is, even when you finally breed all that black face out of them and you've got something that looks like a white-faced sheep, you will still find that tendency not to come together, not to stay with the herd. And then, of course, that's where the people of the world are today, is they've been in a fence field for generations now. They haven't had to come together to take care of one another. You go to church, they have no idea of what a daily ministration is. We see right away in the first century church, they were forming a daily ministration to take care of the needy of society. And I've actually brought this up with a group that believed that they were an early church, first century church group. They actually called themselves a first century church group. And I says, so why do you guys look to the government for your social welfare when the church used to provide that? And they said, yeah, well, that was in the day when the government didn't have welfare. I said, you're talking early church, first century church. Rome was noted for its welfare, free bread and circuses. Half of Rome was on the government dole to one degree or another. Well, you know, 45 million Americans are on government dole. 45 million Americans are on food stamps alone. More than 200 million Americans go to public school, and public school is government dole. That's the government providing that service by taking away from your neighbor. There's hardly a Christian left in America. There's a lot of people who go to church, but they aren't Christian. Absolutely are not Christian. And we have a page, you know, distinguishing the church from, you know, the modern Christian from, you know, what's calling itself Christians today. And they just don't understand. They just don't have any idea of what it means to be a Christian. They've gone completely out of the way of Christianity. It's astounding that they don't understand what it is. So the few people that we're talking about that, you know, what to expect when you go to church, and what you should not be looking for. And it was just a brief little comment. One person made a comment. Someone else made kind of an attack on his comment. And somebody else came to his defense. And it was over. So anyway, I just sent off, oh, I don't know, maybe guys are still talking about it. But this idea of what the church is and what the church is not. The church is supposed to be a social welfare system whereby everybody can participate in pure religion, that is, taking care of the needy of society, of their society, through faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty. And so, you know, we have a checklist on our page about the early church, which I just sent out to that group. Modern Christians practice a redefined religion. They think religion is what you think about God. You know, you have to think Jesus is God, and you have to think that God is three people in a trinity, and you have to accept Jesus as your personal savior, at least say the words. You don't actually accept him as your personal savior because you actually look to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority to actually save you, to educate your children, to take care of you in your old age, to take care of you if you get injured or sick or whatever. That's who you're looking to for salvation, savior, in this world. So the claim that you're expecting Jesus to take care of you, or the Holy Spirit to take care of you, is just, those are just words. Because you don't really do that. You don't gather in his name. You don't gather to serve, to take care of one another, to create a social welfare system, a Corbin system, a sacrifice system, that makes the Word of God to effect. And see, this is the thing, is that because you've looked to socialism for your education, looked to socialism to take care of your parents, because you know more do ought for your parents, you look to social welfare systems and men who call themselves benefactors to provide you with food stamps and welfare and Medicare and Medicaid. Because you've looked to them for these things, you've divided your society. You don't look to society anymore. You look to that government. And of course, you have to bow down and serve it in order for it to keep, because you signed up so that in order for you to keep getting those benefits or the promise of those benefits, which may be a lie, you may not get them. You have to sign up for this system, and you've signed up, and your parents signed you up, and now you're stuck with that system. And you're stuck in that system, and you're a surety for the debt of that system. And your children are born in debt, and they are a surety for that system. And that's the way you are. That's what you have become. Is you're not a Christian. You're a modern Christian. You're not like the early church. You don't practice pure religion. You don't depend on ministers of charity. You depend on ministers of force. In an authoritarian welfare state. You're a part of the world, and you live of the world, and you expect the benefits of the world. You should not expect the benefits of Christ. Now, many people did not know this, and their hearts may be in the right place, but they've been taught falsehoods by false shepherds, blind guides, and they need to change that. They need to look at all things anew. They need to be the real church, like the early church, like the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what you need to do, and that's what you need to be. And if you try anything other than that, you may find yourself in a world of hurt, a world of difficulty. And that's where, of course, we are today, is that we are in this world of hurt and difficulty. So we talked for a couple hours this morning on what a good shepherd is and what a good shepherd is not. And we understand that Christianity is the antithesis of socialism. Do not look to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. If you do, you're not following Christ. You're not doing what Christ said. You do have to render to Caesar what is Caesar's, but you wouldn't be necessarily signing up for the military. Now, that's an individual call, but generally speaking, you wouldn't, because you're going to be required to take oaths. And Jesus said, swear not, anything more than yes for yes and no for no cometh of evil. James said, above all else, stop the taking of oaths. But now modern Christian shepherds, ministers, tell people you should take oaths and you should swear allegiance to your country, to your government. Yet Christians were persecuted, burned at the stake, murdered, thrown into the Colosseum, because they would not take such oaths in the early church to the same type of governments, which, of course, we've spelled out. We show the parallels to our time and the time of Rome. And I talk to you about all the times that Jeremiah talks about the lost sheep and shepherds have caused them to go astray and forgotten their resting place. Their resting place now is the apostate church, the false church that makes them feel good, or their own personal doctrine that makes them feel good. And he talks about my sheep wandering through all the mountains upon every high hill, and they're a scattered flock because of all these pastors, some of who are real nice guys, most of whom are just in it for the money, you know, and they think they're preachers, they think they're pastors of Christ and shepherds of his flock, but in reality they're not. And Ezekiel talks about it, and we quoted from Ezekiel this morning, and Ezekiel in Ezekiel 38, he talks about this land, which is not Israel over there in the ancient location of Israel, but it's actually probably America. If you look at all the parameters, it's probably America. And it talks about it being invaded, but not knowing that it's invaded. Doesn't know that the enemy has come to take a spoil, but there is foreign troops in the land, brought from many different countries, like a United Nations peacekeeping force, because some sort of disaster happens here, and by agreement, they have to come and help us out. But while they're here, a thought occurs to this nation and the nation of Great Britain that these troops have come to take a spoil. And anyway, it talks in there about what's going to happen, and you probably can't understand it. The Bible is written so that you really need to have the revelation of God in order to interpret it. I could interpret that for you and tell you exactly what all these little parameters mean in Ezekiel 38 and why this is something that's coming to our time. I mean, it may be a few years out yet, but there isn't any time to waste. But the reality is millions upon millions of Americans will die for all sorts of reasons, both because of military reasons, food shortages, disease, all those things are going to come upon us. I wouldn't even have to read this and I could tell you that, simply because you see in nature that as you judge, so shall you be judged. If you sow the wind, you will reap the whirlwind. And while America has often had its young people fight and die for liberty, its leaders have often been manipulated by less than noble causes. I personally sat and spoke with people who sat in on the meeting with Eisenhower and decided, and he was announcing that he had decided to have a series of brush wars in Southeast Asia for the purposes of, now this is the key thing here, because we were told that we were there to prevent the domino effect, to prevent the communists from taking over, etc., etc., which is a bold-faced lie, because Ho Chi Minh wanted our support and wanted to go democratic, wanted to be like America, would have adopted the U.S. Constitution if we had supported it against the brutality of the French. They wanted to be their own country, their own sovereign nation, but we didn't do that. And eventually they drove the French out and we went in, but we went in not to secure freedom and liberty for Vietnamese. We went in, and here's the quote, directly out of the mouth of men who sat in on the meeting, for the purposes of stimulating the coal and steel industry, and of course, the military-industrial complex. All those bombs, all that equipment that was going to be poured out over there was about stimulating our own economy. I mean, we give billions of dollars to Mexico to firm up their borders. They take those billions of dollars and they buy from the United States helicopters. But they don't use the helicopters on the border. They just beef up their own military. Now we have this huge military to the south of us in Mexico. We've been doing the same thing with Europe. We've been doing the same thing with countries all over the world. We're only stimulating a major industry, a steel and coal and now just military-industrial complex. And the fix is in. It's about money. But I'm not trying to tell you how to get politically organized and do something about that. I'm talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If you don't, that's what's going to happen, and that's what has happened. And now your children are born in bondage, just like the Israelites were born in bondage in the days of Egypt. But if you turn around, miracles can happen. Zechariah 10:2 says, for the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie, and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore, they went their way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no shepherd, no good shepherd. There were shepherds that were leading them astray, but no good shepherd. Goes on to say, my anger was kindled against the shepherds, and I punished the goats, and the Lord of hosts hath visited his flocks, the house of Judah, and hath made them as his godly horse in the battles. So what do they talk about? They talk about there is a voice of howling of the shepherds. This is all in Zechariah. Go down to Zechariah 11:15, and the Lord said unto me, take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still. But he shall eat the flesh of the fat, and tear their claws in pieces. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm, and upon his right eye, and his arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. Your shepherds are lost sheep. Your shepherds are the blind leading the blind. You need to repent. Jesus talks about shepherds too. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom at hand. That's what he's talking about, a kingdom at hand. And healing every sickness and every disease amongst the people. But of course, he talks about those who believe only by signs and wonders. Right now, we're not looking for people who only believe by signs and wonders. We're looking for people who actually, who God is speaking to them in their hearts to come out. Not to come out to save themselves from taxes or something, but come out and become bondservants of Christ. That's a scary place these days. Because you no longer are of the world, and the world is going to hate you. You cannot fake this. You need to come out according to the leading of the Holy Spirit, not because I tell you to. But you need to come out to serve. And right now, it's difficult to even get congregations to come together to serve, much less to come out to serve. I know a lot of people think they're out and have come out, but they aren't serving. They aren't gathering together. They aren't forming a kingdom of faith, hope, and charity. They're forming their little groups. And we talked about that earlier, about people who, this is my congregation. No, you want to gather with the congregation of God. It's not your congregation. It's where you may gather, but you gather to serve, not to be served. In verse 36, it says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And right now we're looking for the laborers. And he says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that ye will send forth laborers into his harvest. Are you ready? Can you do that? Do you want to begin the training, Padawans? Because we will do that. But you can't do this halfway. You can't fake this. You have to make a real commitment. Now, we have places for ministers who cannot devote the full time and do not want to go the full way, but they want to begin somewhere, and that's fine. But those of you who really want to make the greater commitment, there's work to be done. Plenty of work to be done. And before him, he says in Matthew 25:32, shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another. The shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. And the sheep and the goats, nothing really wrong with goats, but there's something different about goats than there is about sheep. And that's what I've been impressed of the weeks lately, that we must divide out the sheep that are followers, that are bearing fruit. The time is now. The time has come. And those who will not bear fruit shall be cast into the fire. That time is upon us. We should not be playing around. Everybody should be gathering together in congregations of record. Go on record of saying, yeah, I will gather with these people as if I cared as much about them as I do myself. I probably won't. But then by gathering together, I will put myself to the test. And if I learn to love them, then they may learn to love me. That's my hope. That's what gathering together in faith, hope, and charity is all about. But it requires sacrifice. It requires an investment. If you want to make anything back from anything in this world, if you plant a seed, you're investing that seed into the ground. If you start a company, you're investing money into the company. What are you investing in the kingdom of God? You have to invest. The more you invest, the greater your return. But God will make the return. He will judge the amount, not me. I'm going to do what I'm going to do no matter what you do. It is what I do is not dependent upon what you do, but you should not expect to be taken care of if you have not come together to take care of others. Because as you judge, so shall you be judged. You live in a cause and effect university because that's what God created. Matthew 26:31 says, "Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd," this is what was written, "and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad." But then Jesus rose again. In Mark 6:34, he says, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things." One of those things is he taught them to serve one another. And this is the way of the kingdom of God. This is how it works. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Who's the door? Isn't it Jesus Christ who is the door? "But he that entereth in by that door, by Jesus Christ, is the shepherd of the sheep." So when any pastor is preaching to you, and he's not preaching to you that you need to be taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity, he's not preaching to you that you need to be working towards a daily ministration that is not only for your congregation, but for all the congregations of God, people you don't even know. Anyone who is saying he is preaching the gospel of the kingdom and not preaching that, he is not preaching Christ. He is not. Paul did this. You see Paul moving money from one end of the Roman Pax Romana to the other to help out the needy of the Christian community. Where are you in that? You need to be doing that. You need to be doing that daily. You need to be doing that with righteousness and sacrifice on a daily basis. So anyway, we'll probably need to take a break here, and we'll be right back to Keys to the Kingdom in a moment. Okay, so we're reading here, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." What is that way that we should be entering the sheepfold? It is by coming in the name of Christ, coming together to serve, not coming together to hear good music, not coming together to find our happy place, not coming together so that we're all dressed up and go to church. We come together to serve. I've told people, we've written about it. We show what the early church was doing in a world, a socialistic world of the empire, where free bread and circuses were available for half the population. They gave away not only bread, but cheese and wine and even money to help out the poor. And the Christians would not partake of that table, that civil table. Why? Because Proverbs had told them this. David had told them this. The Psalms tell them this. The Ten Commandments tell them, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. Not to look to any other God but the God of heaven. And of course, these rulers, these benefactors who exercise authority in the New Testament tells us, you know, we're not to pray to the fathers of the earth. We're to pray to our Father in heaven in hope that our neighbor, with God working in his heart, answers those prayers through their belief in God and their love for neighbor. This changes the whole equation of society. When you do this, it brings society together, it brings communities together, it brings people together and makes them stronger, it strengthens them. Socialism weakens the community, it divides the community. You don't need to think about your neighbor. You've got the government to help you out. You've got your social welfare programs. And when this happens, people die in their apartments and nobody even knows because nobody even cares. And they don't care because you didn't take the time to care. And the New World Order loves that because they want to kill care. You want to change the New World Order, return to the order of Christ. It goes on to say, to him the porter openeth. Porter is a doorkeeper. The money changers were doorkeepers, believe it or not, but they were the money changers he fired. Christ fired with a string whip. They were doing something different. But by Pentecost, they would choose new money changers. But they wouldn't do it like those money changers who were thieves and robbers, because they were dependent upon forced offerings. You could be arrested if you didn't make your offering, your sacrifice, your korban that they put in the treasury. Christ was showing you a completely different way, which is actually the way of Moses. But you wouldn't know that because you've gone to the Pharisees and said, Pharisees, tell us what Moses told us. You've gone to the Jew who had it wrong instead of the Jews who we call Christians who had it right. They were taking care of one another through free will offerings, the same as the Old Testament, but we called it charity. And so you want to create a national system of charity that takes care of the needy of your society. You want a pension plan, you set that up yourselves. The church is not a pension plan. It's pure religion. It's true charity. And we could do that. But we can only do that with those that really believe in the ways of righteousness. And it is not righteous to force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. That is covetous. And that is what makes you merchandise. That is what has cursed your children. As the New Testament tells you, it would. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Do you know the voice of Christ? Do you hear me telling you what Christ was saying? Does that make sense to you? Does it awaken something to you? If you go to the churches out there in the world, what are they telling you? Oh, they say love, but it's a convenient love. It's a non-sacrifice love. You don't actually have to take care of anybody. You know, you can send a few bucks to the missions. You know, that's always cheap. You know, a couple $100 will buy a lot of meals out there on the missions. Less than it used to because of inflation, but still, you can get your good feeling about how wonderful you are because you sent a few $100 to the missions. But when your neighbor needed help, you sent him to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. Something Jesus said, it was not to be that way with you. But there it is. It is that way. Yet you tell me you're Christian. You tell me you follow Christ. You tell me you love Christ. But you covet your neighbor's goods through the agency of men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. I mean, that's right there in his instructions and you pay no attention to it. I repeat it over and over again because no other pastor will say it. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. If you're going to church and you're unsatisfied with the pastors that you have, come to those who are seeking to gather in the faith. I won't say that the people who gather with us are the faithful, because I don't see them as the faithful now. They seek to be faithful, many of them. They seek the righteousness of God, many of them. But I can't say that they are the faithful yet. I just can't see it yet. I hope, but I can't see it yet. Besides, it's not me who judges. It's God who judges. I can just say, you're not there yet. And that doesn't take rocket science. You have to turn around and do things the other way. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them about. And see, many people don't get it now. They don't understand. They think they're Christian, but they're not following what Christ actually said. They don't hear. They read this and they don't hear. You know, it's like the weightier matters. How many times have I asked people, what did Jesus list as the weightier matters? And no pastor could answer. All studied the Bible for years and 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 could not answer the question, what did Jesus list as the weightier matters? How could they have missed that? He actually is condemning the Pharisees because they're not attending to the weightier matters. These pastors are not attending to the weightier matters, and they don't even know what the weightier matters are. And you go to them and send them money. Are you crazy? You think because they say you're saved that you're saved? And they don't even know what Jesus said was the weightier matters? No, blind guides. Now, I'm not condemning them. I fortunately don't have to judge them. I'm just saying this is what Jesus said, and this is what you're doing, and they don't match up. But that's good news, because now you can start matching up with what Jesus said. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily. Yeah, that's an emphasis. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. They didn't follow them. They didn't go to church. You know, many of the converts to true Christianity are probably not going to church right now. Now, some are, but many are not. But they're not hearing the message. But we don't have the laborers out there willing to share that message. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. You need to listen to what Christ said and seek to follow what Christ said to do. John 10:10 goes on to say, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life. Might have life. He died that you might be saved. You think because he died your sins are forgiven? No. That's not what he said. He says, if you do not forgive others, neither will my Father forgive you. Whoa. So, if you're still expecting benefits from a bankrupt government, which all governments of the world are bankrupt, if you're still expecting them to provide you with benefits, then you have not forgiven them the fact that they've already squandered all your money. They have no money to give you. Your money's gone. They're operating in the red. They're not in the black. If you want any benefits from them, you want them to take care of your parents. You want them to take care of you. You want them to take care of your children. You want them to provide you with free education. You want them to, you know, give you food stamps, anything. You know, like I said, even taking care of your parents or giving education to your kids, and they're bankrupt, then, and you think they owe you that, then you're either coveting your neighbor's goods or you're failing to forgive them, for they've already squandered your money. If you tell me I paid in, I have a right, you have not forgiven them for squandering your money. And you certainly don't care about your neighbor or your neighbor's children or grandchildren that are going to have to pay back everything that you want from that government. If you shake your fist at the government, you haven't forgiven them. You need to stop that. You need to turn around and face your responsibilities. Pure religion. Religion is the pious performance of your duty to God and your fellow man. Pure religion is doing that without the help of the world. That is what the church is supposed to be doing. If your church is not doing that, then your church is not a church established by Jesus Christ. If your church is not preaching that, your church is not a church established by Jesus Christ. And you're wasting your time there, probably. You can go there. I'm not telling you not to go there. But know this, it is an apostate. John 10:11 went on to say, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I have been doing that for years now with very little compensation guaranteed. But we need more workers. We need more people willing to give their life, lay down their life, sacrifice their life. Get up early, work hard, and go to bed late. That is our lot. It's not a lot, but it's our lot. He goes on to say, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep, he fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scatter the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling, careth not for the sheep. And I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of my sheep. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. We've had ministers who have abandoned us because of a disagreement. There were many apostles who disagreed, but they did not abandon the message. They disagreed, but they didn't abandon. They weren't hirelings. They weren't becoming ministers of the people for the vanity's sake. That's their pay. If you do it for vanity's sake, if you do it so that people would look up to you, if you do it because it satisfies some sort of prideful need in yourself, then you are a hireling, and you will be perfectly willing to abandon the sheep. If you are focusing on your congregation, you're not focusing on the kingdom. Yes, you serve your congregation by connecting them with the rest of the network, the rest of the kingdom. That's how you serve them. You don't serve them by making them dependent upon you, by motivating them, by stimulating them. They should be stimulated by the Holy Spirit. They need to come to serve just as much as you need to come together to serve. If they don't come to serve, then they are probably not the faithful. You got the wrong sheep. You're gathering the wrong sheep. Now, hopefully they can change. But that's between them and God. You can't change them. You can't make the congregation follow the ways of Christ. He goes on to say, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now, he was talking to Israel at the time, or Judea, and there was more of his flock up to the north and all over the world. And this, of course, is he's telling you about what Paul was going to be doing. Even Peter would be ministering to the Gentile, to the other nations, who were not of this fold, but will still be a part of the one flock. And that one flock is found in Christ, in Christianity. But what's posing as Christianity today is false. Now, many of you may repent and seek that kingdom, but it's different than what you've been getting from your local churches and synagogues and any of these outfits that are out there preaching God, but not preaching love of one another in real, meaningful ways. The whole world has gone after socialism and abandoned the ways of God. They need to repent. Basically, that's what it comes down to. Therefore, doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. He goes on to say, there was a division, therefore, again, amongst the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can the devil open the eyes of the blind? So there was this debate. The other time when Jesus was talking to them and it divided the people was with, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And all he was talking about is taking care of one another through personal sacrifice, getting out of the social welfare system of Herod, the Corban of Herod that was making the word of God to none effect. This was a major theme. Even John the Baptist was saying the same thing. If you have two coats and your neighbor has none, you don't go to the government and say, I need a coat. You hope that your neighbor will be charitable and he will share with you the coat you need. And he will do that if you're a sincere, hardworking person. The number of lazy, slothful people in heaven, you are so small you can count them on one hand. As a matter of fact, you can count them by taking your index finger and your thumb and touching the tips of them together and holding them up. Because that's how many lazy and slothful people are in the kingdom of God. The Bible is very clear, over and over again, very clear, that you need to be seeking that kingdom of God. You know, Jesus was very political. One definition of politics is the art of science of government, of governing, especially the governing of a political entity such as a nation, and the administration and control of its internal and external affairs. Well, that's one. Was Jesus political? Yeah, he controlled the internal affairs to a degree. He said to his apostles, you are not to be like the governments of the Gentiles who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. He is to be greatest amongst you is to be servant to all. Again, Jesus came to serve. By making that statement, he is controlling the political affairs of the government. What the government of God does that is different than the governments of the world is that it does not force you to pay into it. You must choose to pay into it, and God is the tally keeper. He sees you laying down your life for others. You just have to figure out who it is that you think is really preaching the gospel and contribute to them. If you think it was Billy Graham, you give to Billy Graham. If you think it was I don't know. I can't even remember all the guys. Haggy. He's already got a $1 million home, but go ahead, give to him some more. But, you know, you should give to somebody you actually know. You don't necessarily know me. You can give to us. We do accept donations. But you should be picking a minister who's going to connect you to me, to other ministers, to other congregations, and form a network of congregations where people can start to learn what it means to care about one another. The activities and affairs engaged in by the government, politicians or political parties, etc. These are definitions of politics. But it's also defined as the activities associated with the governance of a country or other area, especially the debate or conflict among individuals or parties having or hoping to achieve power. Our hope is that you are empowered. Power is the power of choice. We want to return every man to his possessions so he has a choice over his possessions. We want to return every man to his family so that he has a choice for his family and he can decide for his family what is best. This is the way in which God, Jesus Christ, told us to conduct the politics of the kingdom of God. Not to centralize the power in a leader. That would be rejecting God. But to centralize the power for you in you. And God will guide you in what you should do with that. Governance itself references all processes of governing, whether undertaken by government, market, or network. Whether over a family, a tribe, a formal, informal organization, or a territory, whether through laws, norms, powers, or language. Governance is in the hands of the people. The governance of the bureaucracy that belongs to Christ, that we call the church, the clerks of his kingdom, is in the hands of those clerks, those clergy. You get to decide which ones to support, and you need to pray about that to find out which ones you want to support. And the laborers are few right now. But you gather together and support one until you find one that is better, and then you support him. And that is self-vetting. You get to build the kingdom based on the revelation of God in your heart. And if you start doing that with the character of Christ, which is loving your neighbor as yourself, you're going to see miraculous changes taking place in your life and the lives of others. What we call engaged in politics or a politician may be engaged in the process or hope to achieve the power over the governance of the people. But also, some people seek power over their own life. Someone seeking the power of choice over his own life, or what we call liberty, is engaged in politics even though he may not vote or run for office. He is engaged in the politics of his own life. And that is what the church is supposed to be empowering. This whole word politics, it comes from, via the Latin, from politikos or polites, which Paul uses commonly, but you don't see it. Polis, city, citizen. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. And that means we have, if we want our rights back, we have to take back our responsibilities to one another. Paul tells us in Philippians, only let your conversation be as it cometh in the gospel of Christ. That conversation is from the word politume. That is where we need to be. That is what we need to be about. That is what the kingdom of God is. It's a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. So help me God. So that's where we need to go, and that's where we need to be. And until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.